But do you remember when my hand reached out to you and you came through that tight place, says the Lord? If you will allow me, I will crush that place behind you so that you can never go back, says the Lord. I will crush that place. I will crush that place. Will you allow me to do that, says the Lord? And I want you to go forward this year. I will not be leading you forward. I will be pushing you forward as my army. I will be pushing you forward, not out of pushing you in something that I am not going to be there with you, but I will be pushing you because my army has to go forward this year. It has to go forward. It has to go in my strength, and it has to be strong, says the Lord. I will be pushing you forward. Are you ready? Are you ready? Will you leave those things behind? Will you look forward to those things that I have called you to do? Take the fear and trample it under your feet, because I have not given you the spirit of fear, says the Lord. I have given you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I want you to act this year like my army. I want you to go and do those things that I have called you to do. I want you to be bold in the things that I have called you to do. Go. Don't wait any longer. This world is a dying place and it needs my army. Go in my strength, says the Lord.
And it's important that we act on it. So for those of you who have something that needs to be crushed, the Lord is here. He wants to do it now. So right there where you're sitting, let's take this moment. Let's deal with it. There are many things that need to be crushed. We go from faith to faith. But God loves us so much. He wants to deal with these issues and problems and circumstances and mountains, so that we can go on. Yes, we're farmers and fishermen, but we're also soldiers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, let your anointing come, your manifest presence. Father, deal with these issues and circumstances. And Father, I right now take authority over the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. I command you to loose your hold on each and every person. There's been infirmities that's tried to crush you. I break that power in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, infirmity is not to glorify you. Glorifying you is to walk in that health that you paid the price for us to have. If there's any other thing that's crushing, we give to you, Lord. Father, thank you for speaking to us and speaking to our hearts. Let's just take the next moment and give it to Him. Here who have been angry. You've done some things, you've said some things. Just quickly give it to the Lord. See yourself set free and walking free. There's people here who have been discouraged. They're tired. Father, let your fresh wind blow. One thing for sure, when you do that, Lord, you renew us. You renew our strength like that of the eagles. You're so powerful, Lord. You know how to do that, and you do that. For those of you who need that, just take it. Lord, let your power flow this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we trust you this morning. We need you, but we also trust you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sorry. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 would be a scripture that I would like to start off with today. And what it really says is that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And a few weeks back, I had asked the question about how many people know that they are the righteousness of God. And there was actually a number of people that raised their hand. And that's okay. But it just encouraged me, the Lord did today, to speak on righteousness. Because there was a flip, if you will. There was a identification, a substitution. The Lord became our substitute, and now we identify with that. We don't have to go through what he even went through. If we've accepted him, then our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to start this morning by saying that, I guess it was last week, that pastor was talking and sharing. An amazing, amazing pastor we have, I'll tell you. And she said a lot of things that I marked down here. But one of the things she did say, she said, ask the Lord to remind us about what the Word has said to you over the years. And then prophesy them out. Now, did you do that? I don't need a show of hands. But I'll tell you, when our pastor gets something to talk to us about like that, she gets it while in the presence of God. And she gets it in the presence of God so that she can come out and let us have it, so to speak. And so that when we get it, we need to be obedient to that and actually do what it is that she's saying for us to do. Well, I went home on, I was home a lot of the week because of the snow. I never seen so much snow in a long time. Just kept coming and coming and coming. But built up some muscles with all that shoveling, so it's okay. I needed it. But I spent a lot of time in prayer, just looking over some of the things and asking God to remind me of some of the things that was being said to me over the years. This year is 40 years since I have given my heart to Christ. And over that many years, there's been a lot of words. A lot of them I can't remember. Some are written down. Some are given by this person or that person. Some are given here. Some are given there. Some are on tape, back when we had tapes, CDs and so on. But in any case, I didn't and I couldn't remember all of them. That's for sure. I bet you couldn't either. So I began to pray, and I prayed for a long time because, you know what? What Pastor is saying, she's getting it from the throne. I want to do that. I want to be there. Because I believe this year, and I believe this, and I know I speak this prophetically, that the fast will go faster and the slow will go slower. Not that the slow is going to be out of the kingdom or anything like that, but God is going to use the people who want to go faster and deeper in him. And the fast will go faster. There's going to be a speed up. This year, 2015, we all have something in our heart, but we need to know that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to know that. When we left here, we were here 2 weeks ago on a Sunday. We left on Sunday morning. We drove up to Barrie through the back roads here. We went up through Listowel. And this is testimony. I want to encourage you this morning before I get into the message. While in Listowel, we stopped at the A&W. And while we're in the A&W, the Lord said, go pray for them people. Now, these people were a mother and a daughter. And the daughter was 30, 35-ish, but she was very slow. Not Down syndrome or anything like that. I don't know what the name would be. I says, okay, Lord, no problem, because the place was filling up. And I love to do that when the place is full. But in any case, he said, strategically, here's what you do. Go over and pray for the mother. I thought, well, that's a little twist. So I did. I get up and I went over and I said, look, I'm an evangelist. And I said, I would like to pray for you, Mom. And she kind of was in a little bit of a shock, because I'm sure that a lot of people have prayed for the daughter. And so while I was praying, it was a 15-second prayer. But I began to pray for Mom, and I began to pray for daughter. And I knew that that prayer of faith did something within their heart. You see, we are all witnesses. People will say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't like to do that. Yeah, but you are a witness. If you're in the body of Christ, you are either a witness, you either have a vocation, that's what you do in church, or you have that occupation where you put bread on the table. Sometimes the people with vocation and occupation are in full-time ministry, that's them. But for us people who are lay people, we have to learn how to witness. Maybe for the year 2015, some of us maybe have to take that very, very serious and begin to witness. Because I know, and even this morning, in terms of the word, as I was standing at the front, Donna said, there's people here with fear of the unknown. What can anybody do to you? Seriously. If God tells you to speak something to them about the Lord. You don't have to give a 10-minute message, but you may have to give a 10-second message. But I know we've all said it. Well, I don't know. And if we begin to reason it out, one thing for sure is this, that we will not do it. Because the reasoning is definitely against the spiritual, and the spiritual is a lot stronger than the reasoning. In any case, as we left Listowel, and we're traveling up, and we end up in Barrie. While in Barrie, I'm talking to one of my nephews. He's 45-ish. He has never accepted Christ, but over the many years, I have talked to him, and he's watched the way I've lived, and he knew actually some of the stories of what we did before we got born again. I had an opportunity to tell him what he needs to do to accept Christ. Moved just in this little party, this little gathering together. My niece's husband, who's a little older, he's pushing 50, and in his work, he's had a hand problem. Muscles has caused his hand to go like this, and there was a major problem with his hand. They even said that he may even lose his hand. I says, Ron, well, you know me. Let me pray. And I began to pray. The operation was within a couple of days, and it happened December 23rd. Why then was because of the urgency of the hand problem. It was supposed to be a situation. He was afraid. He's a self-proclaimed atheist. But when I began to pray, it doesn't matter. When you face things, if your colleague, if your neighbor, if your friend faces things, they want to know about Jesus Christ. I don't care who they are. I've seen all the atheists, but once they come up against something or into something that's going to crush them, bang, they want to meet this Jesus Christ, because inside they have that vacuum. Every human being was created with that vacuum to know God. Anyway, the operation was supposed to take over an hour and a half or something like that, and when I prayed, a few days later, when he went into the operation, it was in half the time. The thing was positive. His hand was healing. He didn't have any pain pills or anything like that. In other words, when he was talking to me later, he said it was a breeze. There's not taking my hand off or anything like that. Listen, we need to do that for people. And now next time I see Ron, I'm going to say, you know, here's how you find the person who touched you on that day. Glory to God. And we can all do it. It's like kind of like we're setting them up. We keep setting them up. We don't have to hit them and knock them out the first time. It's not a physical warfare anyways, but it's a spiritual thing, and we need to be wise. And this year, the faster are going to go faster. I'm telling you, you're going to see things that you've not seen before. I've never had this in my heart in the 40 years that I have walked with Christ. I've never sensed and felt this way in the Spirit about what God wants to do in this year. There is a how, though. How are we going to get to that place? Because it's not all God that's going to do it. We need to step out in faith, and we need to realize that we are a witness. Also, we have a vocation. That's the thing that we do in church. Also, we have an occupation, and that's the thing that we do outside to put bread on the table. God knows this, and if in any of them areas you need help, God wants to help you. He wants to support you. He'll crush the area of fear, fear of the unknown. Well, what will that person say? Well, who cares? Who really cares? At the same meeting, well, I need to get to my message, but at the same meeting, they had asked me to pray. And I know there was a friend of mine there, family, in-law, and I've known him for 50 years. We were kids together down in Toronto. His wife has been very sick with a lung problem and so on and so forth. While I prayed, we just joined hands. There was a couple of dozen of us. And I prayed and I thanked God for her healing. And then I asked the blessing on the food. Now, all these people, basically, I don't know if any of them are born again. Maybe, but I don't know. They are good living Catholics and so on. But I don't know if they're born again. In any case, later someone came up to me and said, you know what? I am so appreciated that when you prayed, you thanked God. We need to thank God for what he's about to do, for what he's doing. Oh, Jim. Oh, yeah, as we were leaving. It's like I'm kind of... One of these guys were leaving. He's a big, big guy. And I'm running out there grabbing his tail, thinking, you can't go. I got to pray. No, I didn't do that. But anyway, we were outside, and he had just lost his wife in September. He's 45, maybe 50-ish. And I said, Jim, how you doing, man? He said, oh, not good, not good. Now, I'll tell you, I'll take you back 25 or 30 years ago when I used to co-host a program on 100 Huntley Street. I would do the evening part from 3, I think it was, to 5 in the morning. Well, he was one of the guys with a friend that were flipping through TV, and they seen me. They knew me that long. And I was saying, hallelujah, have you found the Lord? And he laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. This is 30 years ago. And so the other night I had the opportunity to pray for him. Sometimes it takes time. But I said, Jim, if you found the Lord. And he just began to laugh. He lost his wife 4 months ago, September. And he's in a serious bed where he doesn't know the Lord. He's depressed and all the rest of it. Well, I prayed for him and I prayed for peace. And the peace came on him. And so now I'm keeping in touch with him, talking to him. You know, we can hit so many people. It doesn't matter if it's operations. It doesn't matter if it's depression. It doesn't matter if you've lost someone. It doesn't matter what it is, who it is, in a restaurant, at a party, driving. It doesn't matter. Righteousness. I think that as a Christian, we must know that we are the righteousness of God. This is paramount, especially concerning the things of God. We know it is a done deal in our head, which is mental assent, but do we believe it in our heart? Do we really believe that we are the righteousness of God in Christ in our heart? If we don't believe this truth, then we will probably, and this is not a negative statement, this is a statement, though, that the enemy can take and mess with us on. If we don't believe this truth, then we will probably never receive our healing or our deliverance for ourselves. But not only for ourselves, if we can't receive it for ourselves, how are we going to help others receive it? Man, it is a real thing that we need to do. We need to believe and understand that we are the righteousness of God. If you don't know who you are, the righteousness of God, then you don't know what our Father thinks about you. Do you know that the Father loves you? Do you really know that in your heart? Do you know that if you mess up, you can go to Him and say, I'm sorry, Daddy, and move on? Or does it take a long time for you to seemingly build up to a place where, okay, now it's been a week, I'm forgiven? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's immediate. He knew what you were going to mess up with the day that you got born again. I want to encourage you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Jeremiah 21, verse 11 and 13 says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not for evil, give you an expected end. Fathers and mothers, let me ask you, how do you feel about your children? Then even magnify that, and that's the way the Father feels about us. Then shall you call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. There are times that I just sit down in a chair maybe, and then I say, Father, here's my question. I would love to have relationship and fellowship with you. And just sit there and wait. He generally answers me in some way. Maybe not by that voice. But what He does do is He answers me and He makes it clear and ironclad within my spirit what He wants me to do and the relationship that we have. I've said this before, and I mean this. I have learned to look at myself and laugh. Not that I'm a funny guy, I don't care. But if I don't care what I think about myself, I'm talking about in the carnal, fleshly realm. I'm not talking about the spiritual realm here. Make no mistake, I know who I am in Christ. I've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that. But I've learned to laugh at myself because sometimes we do funny, crazy, stupid things. It also saves us from getting under the offense hat. Lots of times people have said lots of things and I've had lots of opportunity to get upset. Lots of times they have not maybe said something, but I know in the spirit what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're thinking. But who's the one with the problem? If I have the joy, for the joy of the Lord is my strength, I have the peace of God. My thing is to pray for them and watch them come out of things. Because as the righteousness of God, I know who I am. And I know that a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when I pray for someone who God has showed me to pray for, then I know they're coming out of something. So the idea is, not only to realize that we are the righteousness of God, but also to realize that we have a position and a place and a thing, let me call it a job to do. And that is to bring others into the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a major thing if we could bring someone to the point where they realize and believe in themselves that they are the righteousness of God in Christ. Being righteous is being able to stand in the presence of an almighty God without the sense of any shame, guilt, fear, or condemnation. It's the ability to stand in the presence of our almighty God without any sense of shame, guilt, fear, or condemnation. Yeah, well, you don't know what my sin is. Yeah, but God does. Quit trying to run and hide from Him. Say, here I am, Lord. Like, there's nothing I can do. You know everything. The Word says, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If my heart is right to be able to follow you, if that's what I'm doing, He will work with us. I want to encourage you this morning. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. When you accepted Christ, you immediately became the righteousness of God. Now, I know you have to grow and all the rest of it and get sanctified and get purged and go through hard spots and impasses. We know all that. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are partakers of that divine nature. Man, I feel like dancing on that one. Little old me and little old you. I just want to encourage you this morning. Again, if you do not know that you are the righteousness of God, then you will probably never get healed or set free on your own power or knowledge. Listen to this. You will need prayer from a pastor or someone moving in faith or someone else all the time. But God wants us to mature to the point where we can appropriate, that is, take what is rightfully ours and understand that we are the righteousness of God. That's 101 Christianity. If we do not know that we are the righteousness of God, we'll never go forward. Well, I shouldn't say never, but we'll never go forward at the rate that we need to. And this year, I'm telling you, the fast are going to go faster, but the slower are going to go slower. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, not in yourself. In ourself, we have nothing. We are nothing. We know nothing. There is scripture for that. Ephesians, let's see, if we do not know that we are the righteousness of God, we will never know whether we're under the law in all its do's and don'ts or we're under grace. Think about that. Where am I? What am I doing? And where am I going? We'll never know whether we are supposed to work at it. Let me say this. We will never work to gain our salvation. But once we come to Christ, then there are works. Let me put it that way. You do not work to get to Christ. But once you have come to Christ, then there are works. And there are works to the glory of God the Father. And we have the name of Jesus Christ to push forward in them works. We are not under the law. We are under grace. We are not under old covenant, Old Testament. We are under New Testament, New Covenant. What an amazing thing. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are the workmanship of God. It's not of works lest any man should boast. We have to come through Christ and Christ alone. But we have, because I believe everybody here is born again. So you are the righteousness of God. But we have to move along in that. We have to realize and not be double-minded as to whether or not we are under the works or not, whether we're under the law or not, whether we're under a curse or not, whether we are a new creation or not. Believe me, there are many, many Christians that don't understand about whether they are or not a new creation. Some say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a new creation. That life ended. Period. We've all said it. We are a new creation in Christ. We have begun anew when we accepted Christ. The sin that once held us does not hold us any longer unless we let it. There are times we have to work at it, and there are addictions that need to be broken, yes. But He will do it. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. We are not cursed Now, where we walk sometimes as Christians is in a place where we have believed because some of the teaching is that we are under a curse if we didn't do this or didn't do that or didn't do this. While you can live allowing the devil to treat you like you are under a curse, but it goes against the word of God. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What? Having become a curse for us. So who are we? What kind of pride do we operate in to think that we need to do extra? You're saying, Pastor Mike, that's very simple. Yes, it is very simple. For Christ has redeemed us, bought back, pulled out, and set free from the curse of the law. You see, them poor guys back there, and my heart, honestly, as I think about this, I think what a terrible time they had before Christ came along. If they would sin, the things that they would have to go through. But they did not have Christ like we have Christ. They had to do sacrificing, and they had to do this, and they had to do that. Today, if we sin, honestly, this is one of the most humblest things in my life. If I sin, I go to Him, and I confess my sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over me. I can hear someone saying, yeah, but I really don't want to do that. My question then is, why? Well, I've tried that. I've tried this. I've tried a number of things. Listen, this is a year for you. This is a year for you. The fast will go faster. Don't give up. We all get tired. We can't quit. People need you. Okay, if there was a bomb drop in this place now, we're all gone. But what about the people we could have talked to? You're saying, well, now you're preaching condemnation. No, I'm not. I'm preaching truth. If the Lord is convicting you over this, then that's fine. Because conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is dealing with you, stirring you up, causing you to say, Lord, how can I do this? Lord, I feel in my heart. There's times I feel in my spirit things that if I don't pray, I'm going to burst. And I respectfully say that. And sometimes, to be honest, since I've came here, sometimes it's some of you people. God does not show me dirty laundry or anything like that because there isn't any, right? He's not into that. But I know that you are the righteousness of God, and I know that God has given so much to you and to me and to us as a body. If we walk in unity and do the same vision and follow Pastor, Pastor is an amazing person. Some of us may not realize that. I've known her for about a dozen years here or so, give or take. And sometimes closely, sometimes not, but over the years. And I know her heart. And when you see a pastor, you need to see compassion, you need to see knowledge of God, and you need to see transparency. If you don't see that in a pastor, you need to pray. But we have that in our pastor here. We really do. I know what she does. I know how she helps you, how she would drop everything for you. Because she understands that she is the righteousness of God. That's our God, God Almighty. That's not a Buddha. That's not one of them other guys. This is our God. We serve that mighty God. And we are witnesses. And this year we need to go faster. The fast will go faster. Never give up. Never give up. When you get to heaven, there's going to be people that say, hey, I know you. You were the one. You were the one that led me to this Jesus. We are all eternal beings, all of us. We are all going to spend our eternity somewhere. That is something to meditate on, yes. It's very sobering. So we are not under a curse. We do not work to get saved, but once we get saved, there are works. So within the church, we have a vocation. So what is our place within the church? Well, the pastor don't see me. The pastor doesn't understand that I have this in my heart. Sometimes we need to be doing what it is we're called to do before someone like the pastor will see you. Sometimes you need to be doing what you know you're supposed to be doing because we all have that inside. At one point, one time, or we know that God has done something in our heart. But if we wait and wait and wait, and believe me, after 40 years, I've seen a lot of people wait and wait and wait. Wait to the point where they're just kind of pushed away because they won't step out. If you have fear of the unknown, deal with that. Don't deal with all the issues maybe at one time. Deal with one. You are the righteousness of God, and you are not under the law. I'm going to read something here. Would you all turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3? I want to show you where we are. As I begin to meditate on stuff like this, I begin to think how hard it was for these people in the Old Testament. Let's say that you sinned yesterday. Just think of what you would have to do to go get that sin dealt with. But today, it's so much different. In fact, I'm going to show you here what they called the law. Some of you may know this, some of you may never have seen this before. Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll start with verse 3. No, verse 1, sorry. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, and known and read of all men. For as much as ye manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. It's talking about the commandments. It's talking about the 10 that Moses received back there, way back there. Verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ Godward. He's beginning to compare here the tablets that Moses had, the law, and being and walking and following in the Spirit of Christ. Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. Verse 6, who also hath made us ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now look at verse 7. Them 10 commandments, he calls this, but the ministration of death. You say, well, I don't understand that. These were the 10 commandments given to Moses. Yes, this was the law. And they had to live by it. If they could not live by it, then they had a problem. Then they had to go through all the ritual and sacrifices and so on. You see, they couldn't keep the law because they were not born again. They were spiritually dead people. When Moses was talking to these people, he was talking to people who had spirits that were not alive. Not yet. So verse 7, but the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. Well, we know that. that the law became obsolete. Hebrews talks about it. We know that. But these people could not keep the law. We couldn't keep the law. We can't do it either. But because Christ came, and because we accepted him, we become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's easy now in Christ. Verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 9. For the ministration of condemnation be glory. Much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceed the glory. He's talking about the law. We are not under the law anymore. The people that were under the law, they couldn't keep it until Christ came. Now, the people under the law, when they did all them things, let me make this clear. If they believed in Jesus Christ to come and what their scriptures has said, you see, Israel, they had some things to do. One was to make sure the law got written, which they did. Number two, they had to make sure that they kept the law or the word of God, and they did. And the third thing was to evangelize us. And I'll leave that with you. Nobody's perfect. But they have the right to come to Christ just like us. And we have the right to come to Christ just like them. But they could not keep the law, nor could we. If we had to live under this covenant, we would not be able to keep the law either. That's why it's called the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation. They became frustrated. How can I keep this law? Because I can't. Jesus Christ had to come. Deal with it. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 17, I didn't come to abolish the law or destroy it. I have come to fulfill it. He has fulfilled everything that the law said needed to be done so that we as people can become believers in Christ. And so now that we're in Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. These people here in the Old Testament look towards the coming of Christ. And for those who did, even though they had to go through all the rituals, they were not born again yet, but they knew they had to look forward to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ did come, then they say, yeah, that's him. They were kept in a holding place because Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren. When Jesus Christ died, was buried, and resurrected, he made the way to heaven. And all the Old Testament saints, even though they were not born again yet, could say, yes, this is the Christ that I've been waiting for. I've been sitting here in Abraham's bosom for a long time, but this is the Christ. And boom, they accepted him, and they went with Christ. We come in after. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, no man cometh unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. We are not under the law. We are under grace. We don't have the favor that we need to have except from God. He has given us the favor. We didn't deserve it. There's nothing we could do on our own. But we are not under a curse. We are new creations. We're not under the law. There's not a lot of don'ts and do's anymore in terms of keeping the Ten Commandments that were written down on fleshly stones. Jeremiah 31 says that it's written in our hearts now and in our minds. As a Christian, you don't have to tell anybody. If they go into a store and steal a chocolate bar, you don't have to go to them and say, you know what? That's sin. You shall not steal. They know it because it's written in their hearts now. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ, so we have that. If we've accepted Christ, we are a new creation. We're not dirty dog old sinners anymore. We're not there anymore. We're new creations. We are in Christ. Christ did it all. He took on every disease, every sickness. You know, in the last few weeks or so, everywhere I've gone, there has been, and I traveled a fair bit, a lot with family this time, everywhere I went, there was a lot of sickness. And I kept dealing with it and rebuking the spirit of infirmity. And as it tried to get on me a number of times, it says, no, I won't take that. 2 or 3 days ago, it jumped on me and I felt, whoa. But dealing with the flu, you use the same process as dealing with cancer. In fact, sometimes it's harder because cancer, you know you got a problem. Well, it's been 2 days, and that's about the time that I give this thing. Today when I got up, man, I was feeling great. Is this a condemnation to you? No, not at all. I'm just saying. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. These things cannot live on us. We have the Word of God in us, and when germs hit us, they have to die. But we have to learn that. That doesn't come overnight. But that thing is quickly on its way out. I will not receive it. I'm saying it publicly. But it's also happening. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. They could not keep it because they were spiritually dead. They did not accept Christ yet. But they had the opportunity. Because the law, as the word says, led them to Christ. It was the schoolmaster. Jesus didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. Everything that was told in the Old Testament to the time of Jesus, he fulfilled it. God the Father said, yes, I'm satisfied. That's it. No more. And he resurrected. And now he says, now for us, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. We live here. But we don't live in the flesh. We live in the Spirit. We have faith in the Son of God who loved us and died for us. He gave his life for us. Listen to this scripture, and then I'll close. This is in Romans 8, verse 32. It says, for you that are looking it up. Hallelujah. Shut up a key to begin. He who gave up his own son, I'm going to paraphrase it. How shall he not also freely give us all things? He gave up his son, Jesus Christ, to freely give us all things. But we have to learn to take it. Many say, no, I don't want to take it. You need to. You need to take it because people are counting on you. You are the righteousness of God. Will you close your eyes, please? Worship team. As the worship team is coming, I would like to say this, that over the years, I've had many worship teams, but I don't know a lot of the songs. I just never actually went into that area. But there's a song that we sing here, and it says, take me through the fire, the rain, the testing. I will do anything. Test me, try me, improve me, and refine me. Did you ever say that up here at the altar? Or when the song was going on, did you ever say, yes, Lord, use me. Take me through the fire. You didn't know the fire was going to be H-E-L-L. But you did say it. Is your word bond? Then that's what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.